We're going to continue our journey in Luke 5. I encourage you to have it open so you can check to see if I'm telling you fibs and call me up if necessary. It is on the back of your order of service as well. Well, this man was suffering from a skin condition. In the Greek, it's lepra. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean leprosy as we know it. It is a defiling skin condition of some sort, okay? But it would mean that he would have gone to the priest at the temple or the synagogue and been declared ritually unclean for at least 7 days. He would have been sent out from the city walls and lived outside of the boundaries to be isolated, to be quarantined, to ensure that the disease did not spread to the rest of the community. Now, you can see the logic, can't you? It's for the greater good. Okay, but how sorry do you feel for that man? Being sent away from his community to live outside the city, isolated, lonely. Not only that, he's starting to get ulcers on his skin. He's starting perhaps to lose his eyesight or to lose the sensation of touch as the nerve endings die. And beyond that, he no longer can contribute to society by working. He can no longer have significant relationships with loved ones, with family and friends. He can no longer participate in the worship of his community. But here in this account, we hear of his courage as he heads to the feet of Jesus. And his courage is matched by a humility as he plants his face in the dust and he says, Lord, you can heal me. Now, Lord in the Greek can be translated as master. This guy is coming up to Jesus and going, you're my master. You are my master, therefore I am your servant. I am surrendering my life to you. My life is in your hands. Here's this guy saying, Lord, acknowledging Jesus, having authority over him. But more than that, he's saying, you can heal me. He's saying that he recognizes Jesus as someone with heavenly authority, authority over creation, authority over health, over sickness, someone very special. He's saying, Lord, you alone can heal me. And here we have his question hanging in the air. Are you willing? Jesus, are you willing to heal me? Well, can you see yourself in this story yet? Can you see yourself in this story? Maybe it's not a skin condition, but why are you here? Have you been able to acknowledge your own uncleanness? Have you been able, I'm forgetting about the PowerPoint. Have you been able to acknowledge that you need to bow the knee in front of Jesus and say, Lord, Master, you alone can heal me? Are you able to acknowledge that you've tried to find healing in other places, from other people? And yet here you are, as part of this church family, saying, Jesus, you are Lord. I recognize that you have heavenly authority. You are the only one who can heal me. But our question is the same. Jesus, are you willing? Are you willing? So what happens to this man begging in the dust? How does Jesus answer him? Jesus says, I am willing. Be clean. Not only does Jesus reveal himself to be a new type of priest who is able to declare this man clean, he is also a compassionate God who stretches out his hand and touches the untouchable. If anybody else had done that, the only thing that would have happened was they would both be declared unclean. And yet here is Jesus, who reaches out his hand, touches the untouchable, and remains clean himself, and brings cleansing to this man. The man is healed immediately. Perhaps in that moment, it's the first time he's felt this sense of touch for years. Perhaps he gets his eyesight back. Perhaps this raw flesh that is showing is covered up and healed fully. He finds himself declared clean by a Jesus who reveals himself in this broken world, who makes himself one with the unclean and does this to bring healing. But more than that, Jesus brings a holistic healing to this man. In verse 14, Jesus tells the man to go and show himself to the priests, to offer the correct sacrifices and do the correct rituals in order to be welcomed back into the community. Now, if you're anything like me and you want to know what he actually had to do, it's found in Leviticus 13 and 14. So if you want to go home and have a geeky 10 minutes, go and read it this afternoon and find out what this man had to go through. But in a snapshot, this process would have enabled the man to come back into the community, to get a job, to have those significant, loving relationships once again, to participate in the worshipping life of the community. Jesus didn't just stop at giving him physical healing. No, he brought him wholeness. My question again is, do you see yourself in this story? Have you heard those words when you were on your knees crying out to the Lord that he is willing, be clean? We look to the Christmas story, that season we've just worked through, where we hear about Jesus coming to live in this broken world. We look towards Easter, and we think about Jesus becoming one with the unclean, taking our sin upon himself on the cross. We think about the resurrection and everything that brings, offering new life, new hope, eternal salvation. We think about not only our physical healing, but the spiritual healing, the mental healing, everything that Jesus brings through his life, death, and resurrection. He is offering us wholeness. Do you see yourself in this story? Another reason why the man with leprosy, or who once had leprosy, went to the priests is Jesus told him to go and offer proof, go and offer a testimony to them of what Jesus has done. Jesus commands the man to not tell anybody else, but it seems that he didn't quite obey that, because as we read in this passage, great multitudes come and see him. The crowds form. And who is it that comes to hear Jesus teach? It's those who need to be healed of their infirmities, those who need to be healed of their illnesses. It's those who are similar to the man who has just received his miracle. Now, this is just speculation, but I imagine when he had leprosy and he was living outside of the city boundaries, there were probably other people who'd been cast out as well. So I imagine once he's received this healing, him running to the city walls going, "Barbara! Barbara! You've got leprosy, I've not anymore. See what Jesus has done for me, come." And then running over here and going, "Terry, look at my story. See what Jesus has done, he could do the same for you." Well, don't we also have a testimony? Stories of our lives being healed by Jesus, receiving that touch, being declared clean by him. Don't we have a story of a compassionate God reaching out to each and every one of us? I'm not asking you to go to the extremes and perhaps go to our metaphorical boundaries, to the people completely different to us, though if you feel that calling, go. But I'm trying to think of our neighbours. I'm trying to think of the parents in the school playground, I'm trying to think about the people that come and enter this church or use the groups that we put on. The people most similar to us are the ones often that still feel isolated, lonely, cast out. They're the ones who still feel lost. They're similar to us. And if Jesus can transform our lives, what could he do for them? If we are just willing to share our testimony, see what Jesus has done for me. Whether it's a grand story, whether it's something that we feel is so small, but actually, Jesus has done a significant work in declaring each and every one of us clean. We have a testimony to share. So Luke 5 presents a picture of a man who was declared unclean by his community, but finds the courage and humility to kneel before his master and ask bravely, "Will you heal me?" Jesus, of course, says yes, as he does for each and every one of us. Will you bow the knee in front of Jesus today? Will you also think about the testimony, the story that you have to share to those who aren't so different from you, who are still in need of falling at the feet of Jesus? Will you help them get there by sharing your testimony? At the end of this passage today, Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed. It appears that Jesus' ministry was supported by relentless, habitual prayer, connecting with his Father, bringing the kingdom to earth. And that is what we are going to do now as a church family. We are going to pray. And as we pray, I encourage you to think on this story. Find yourself in this story. Find your testimony. I'm going to invite Neil up to lead us in prayer.
Ben, really thank you for actually bringing God's word. And in this passage today, as I read it, we saw an example of a man praying and actually Jesus answering that prayer. So rather than me praying generalized prayers, I felt that this man was praying a very personal prayer about his own needs, and he knew that Jesus was the answer. I would like us this morning to use this example, and either while we are now in our seats, pray that prayer that you want Jesus to answer for you, or walk to the back of the church where there's two bowls of water so you can wash away whatever it is that you want Jesus to renew in your life. The man in the gospel said today, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Let us pray as he did. Lord, if you are willing, and then each of us can fill in the rest of our own heartfelt prayer, remembering that Jesus said, "I am willing." After we've walked to the back of the church and actually washed our hands, those who are willing to do that, I will have one more prayer to close. Thank you for giving each of us courage and humility to come to you, knowing that you are willing to answer our prayer. and confirming to us that you are listening and willing to hear our heartfelt requests. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.